Warrior Sound coverage of the NBA Finals continues here on this eve of Game 2 as the Warriors and Cavaliers get set for action on Sunday at Oracle Arena. And on Saturday at team headquarters, acting head coach Mike Brown had this to say to the media.
Coach, Davide Chinellato, Gazzetta Italy. What do you think is going to get you to win Game 2? What is going to be the key?
Basically the same formula, you know. We probably will have more than four turnovers, but, you know, taking care of the ball, trying to win the possession game, being locked in defensively. Our guys were really good defensively, and going to have that same mental focus and effort. And then continue moving the basketball. You know, we did a nice job moving the basketball.
As a quick follow-up, on the other side, what do you expect from Cleveland to change from game one?
Well, you know, I'm sure they're going to be better in transition. You know, they're going to do a better job of stopping the ball and getting out to our shooters. But the biggest thing, and they even said it, they're going to try to amp up the physicality of the game. You know, they're going to, you know, grab a little bit more and try to knock us off our routes and do what they can to disrupt whatever we try to do offensively.
First question up here in the front. The white shirt.
Do you mention the physicality you expect from them? Do you do anything differently going into the game, or do you just play and expect it?
No, just kind of play and expect it, especially during this time of the year. You know, but they've talked about it. Our guys have heard it. We've mentioned it to our guys, and we've played teams in the past that have been real physical with us, so we feel like we'll be okay.
Connor Letourneau, San Francisco Chronicle. Mike, watching the film of Game 1, was it a little encouraging just seeing that even though you guys won the way you did, there were a lot of areas that you can improve in?
Yeah, you know, we just like they feel, we feel the same that we could play better. And, you know, our guys know they can play better. We missed some shots that we normally make, not only from the perimeter, but we missed some layups that we normally make. And so we just want to keep doing it. We want to keep doing what we did in game one, moving the ball, moving bodies, and see if we can convert some of those this time around.
Rachel, over here on the right.
I saw you out there talking to Bob and Steve, and I guess my first question is, were you fined for the sweatpants that only go to here, or no?
No, you don't like these?
I just want to know.
I think they're kind of cool, like fashion forward. What are they called?
I'm happy you think that.
Dang. I know Monty. Monty, you think it, right? See? Thumbs up. And Brian Windhorst. Can you imagine Brian Windhorst in these? You want to try them on?
What is with the three of you when you guys are on these off days between games? What is the primary sort of discussion besides clearly your sweatpants?
You know, basketball. Bob's, we like have an open forum here.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk basketball with Bob. He'll have questions. Sometimes we'll go to Bob and say, hey, Bob, what'd you see? From your vantage point, what do you think about this? He'll throw ideas our way. We'll just kind of bounce them off each other. And so it's just basically an open forum.
Was there anything from Bob that you can share with us?
What did Bob say? He asked if we thought that they would match up the same way. And so then we kind of went down that line of discussion for a while.
Right here up front.
Is it difficult not knowing if you're going to be the head coach every day? I mean, just, you know, your own, just from planning purposes, kind of thinking how you're going to approach a game or not?
No, because in my mind, with what Bob and Steve both told me, they both said, hey, you're the coach until we tell you otherwise. And so it's simple for me to plan that way. And then if there comes a time that I'm not, I would have been prepared to coach the game if I needed to, but it's easy for me to take a step back.
Do you see yourself as in some ways a different coach than Kerr or, you know, or Walton last year, in other words, or is the philosophy sort of the connecting thread?
I, I'm different than Steve in a lot of ways. My car is clean. His car is dirty. His locker is dirty. My locker is clean. He actually pointed that out to me today. We walked in the coach's locker room. He goes, Mike, look at my locker. I just shook my head and I said, Steve, look at mine. And, you know, so there's a contrast between the two of us where I think it fits well because we kind of sort of meet in the middle. And so it's a good mix. And I see things after being here with him for a year, probably more his way. But, you know, again, when I'm coaching, he always says, if you see something or feel something, go ahead and do it.
Last three, Jackie, Jason, and then Tim.
Mike, every championship team usually has a glue guy on their team, does the little things, keeps guys together. Who would you identify on the Warriors this year as that glue guy?
Draymond. Right. Draymond, yeah, the stuff he does on the floor during timeouts, in practice, in film sessions, whatever, it's almost irreplaceable. And he's probably the best I've seen at it. And
what's he saying?
We're better than that. We need to do this. We need to do that. It's whatever needs to be said. Probably 99.9% of the times, he says the right thing. And then you kind of go, oh, yeah, yeah. We were playing against San Antonio, and it was in the second half. And I don't know if you remember, it was at their place, and I was putting KD in a lot of pick and rolls. And we were scoring bucket after bucket after bucket. And then, you know, then we started getting a little tired, and we started getting a little lazy with it. Steph got involved in the pick and roll also, too, a little bit. We were a little lazy with it, careless with the ball. And Draymond kind of settled everybody down, but he made a play call going away from the pick and roll that was terrific for us at that time.
Like, you know, he audibled it? Or
He just called out a play call. He said, no, you know, we're going to do this. And usually when you have players of his stature that are confident about wanting to do something, you sit back and you let them do it. And it was the absolute right play call offensively. It gave them a different look. We scored a basket, and then we started another run from there. So he's got a feel for what he needs to do, what he needs to say to keep everybody on the right path, whether it's Steve, myself, or anybody else on the team.
Thank you.
Jason and Tim, last two.
Kind of along the lines of the earlier question, how has coaching here with Steve and being with Bob, how has that changed you as a coach? Is there anything you've changed in philosophy or beliefs or whatever? How have you, since coming here and being part of this culture and the system, what about you has changed as a coach?
Well, what's up, man?
How are you?
I'm sorry. I mean, I've seen you, but I haven't seen that guy behind you. So I was just saying hello. Good to see you.
Excuse me. I'll get out of the way.
You know what? He distracted.
Same question. See, I thought when you said along the lines of earlier, he was going back to the sweatpants.
I thought you were going to go there too. You know, the biggest thing is these guys do a great job of thinking big picture. And, you know, I was a guy that wanted to squeeze every ounce I could out of every minute we were together or every second we were together. And it doesn't always have to be that way. And so for me, if there's a quote-unquote coaching strategy that, you know, I think where I've changed or that I would take moving forward, that's probably it. You know, think more big picture than, hey, we got to get better right now. And since we're here, we got to use every single minute of this 3 hours and 55 seconds that we have.
That's what I was going to ask. So, I mean, I remember your first day back. I think you had a 3-hour summer league practice. Are those days over?
And now a lot of it, too, depends on the team. If you have a young team, probably not that long, but we may go a little longer. But as we're going along, if I feel that the attention spans is maybe not there or it's wavering a little bit, before I would have a hard time saying, hey, it's enough, you know, because I'd have a practice plan, and it would be, you know, and I'd want to get through it all so that I could feel like, you know, we accomplished something today. But I may cut it short and pick up on it the next day.
Tim, last question here on the right.
Hey, Mike. I think the last time LeBron didn't win a road game in a playoff series was 2009. It's just kind of one of the, I think it's 30 straight series he's won a road game in. Obviously, you spent a lot of time with him back then towards the beginning of his career. You know, what does that say about the longevity he's had and the ability to kind of go on the road, obviously, in the playoffs where it's obviously always difficult to win and be able to constantly pick up wins on the road like that?
It just speaks volumes to who he is as a player. I mean, he's, you know, one of the greatest all time. And when you have his ability, when you have his intelligence and feel and all that other stuff, you're able to lead your team in difficult situations, in tough environments. And he's done that for many years. So you take your hat off to him.
Is it hard to believe the last time it happened was when you were still coaching there?
Yes. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. I heard he was like 1-8 in the first games of finals. I mean, that's another testament to where, you know, he's kept his team together and helped them overcome tough situations and still come out on top.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.